you're trying to get creative with my love. And that's alright, bud, you tried to get a little tricky. Turn my back and then you slipped me a nicky.
And now back to Hot Talk.
Yes, indeed. Just like hip hop, neo soul identified a fundamental change in people's beliefs and behaviors. And my guest, Kedar Massenburg, helped create a community where those beliefs could be shared and nurtured in music and art and film, and created the soundtrack of our lives. On the phone, one of my dearest, Miss Ingrid B. What's happening, Diva?
How are you, darling? Just laying down here trying to sound awake.
Are you in the ATL or are you here?
I am in ATL until the 7th.
Oh, okay. So you're back. And I was just sharing with Kedar Massenburg. For those of you who don't know, I mean, he literally, he trademarked and created Neo Soul, and started with Kedar Entertainment and then went on to Universal Records, became president of Motown Records. And we can thank him for everybody, N.D.I. Reed, Chico DeBarge, Algebra, Brian McKnight, 702, Michael McDonald, B.B. Winans, Joe, Kim, Erica, D'Angelo. I don't have enough time to mention them all.
Soundtrack of our love life.
Thank you. I told him it was a soundtrack. You think about, the kind of bookends of maybe Erica. I could go back to Algebra, really kind of. You had Algebra a couple of times on the B-side.
Algebra came to the B-side with Anthony David. I still definitely owe her a show. And I heard you on the live chat, definitely Funk Jazz Live was the first group of people that really were bringing neo-soul artists down because they had the benefit of the radio. So I would say that I didn't start it, but I definitely kept carrying it, but without the benefit of radio.
Right.
That's the important part of it, you know, because of the movement.
Yeah. And, you know, you there was a piece that I was reading in Vogue about Niall, the artist out of London, and they quote you saying, "I coined neo soul at the same time as neo soul was successful. Many say naming it and putting a label on it was also the demise of it, because when you classify music, it becomes a fad, which tends to go away." So would you say that labeling it was sort of the gift and the curse?
No, I think it's very much prevalent right now. I mean, every artist from Erica to India to Dev, they're still very much relevant.
I mean,
they still get paid a lot for the shows. I mean, Erica's hosting the Soul Train
tonight.
India's performing. I don't think it was a curse in any means. I think the only time something is a curse is when it's damaging.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it was that at all. I think what people fail to realize is that when I came up with the term neo soul, it was to differentiate the artist from just doing regular R&B. And what I meant by that their subject matter was more conscientious than just, hey, you know, you got a man, but I'm, you know, I could still sleep with you.
Right.
As opposed to saying, you know, you got to die first and come back in your next life.
Right. Before I'm a driver, you can try me like that.
So I think it's different ways. And, you know, instead of saying, I'm just going to smoke weed or whatever, you say brown sugar. You know
right.
what I mean? So a lot of, you know, it's a lot of different ways of saying certain things, but from a conscious level, because I think what people fail to realize is that there are those of us that are black. You know, you got different kind of black people. You got,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people don't even know, you know, a lot about their culture, whether it's Kente culture, whether it's the cornrows, whether it's a Gales, or whether they see Jay-Z wearing the 7-pointed star with the 7 on it from the 5% Nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't know those things. So there's a lot of us out there that do know that, and a lot of times it's not commercialized. Like, I had a big fight with MTV. They didn't want to play Erica initially at first. And Universal, Motown, they didn't want, you know, Universal didn't want to make that call for me because they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Mm-hmm. They didn't get that Sisters Wore Gales, or there's a certain amount of cultural aspect to us, because that's not something that they propagate, because that's a movement of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And you know, and when I say that it was a cultural shift, because that was, you know, it was interesting. I was having a conversation today about, like, what was the time period? And it was about that time that Prince started to fall off.
Yeah.
He started to get really esoteric.
Yeah.
And neo soul just came right in and picked all of us up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it was sort of that tribe.
But you know, something interesting, not to cut you, I want to, everything is cyclical in the universe, right? If you look at what's happening right now and the shift that's happening right now,
yeah.
It's all lined. Again, you got Dave Chappelle back on the scene. You got
Tribe
Called Quest coming number one. So you got the cultural. Know why? Because it happened when you go so far out in the universe, you have to come back, right?
Yeah.
So what's happening now is with Trump being, I mean, people didn't know that racism really exists on a level that it exists.
That it exists. Thank
until
you.
They saw the numbers coming, they're like, wow.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So everybody now is coming back to, okay, I better get my stuff together also,
mm-hmm.
because this is real right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything against Trump. I'm saying like that, but I'm saying you're seeing what society is showing you. Like, hey, if y'all don't get it together, you out of here.
Yeah, for real, for real.
You know, so,
and
yeah.
people that you had no idea
exactly
are just coming to the surface.
So the culture is coming back when you see those kind of movements.
Shifts, yeah.
You know, even with Chris Tucker trying to make his comeback. But if you look at the time that
yeah.
everybody was prevalent, and now it's coming
back
again.
Yeah, I'm telling you that.
But Jill.
Yes, baby.
I'm so sorry, but I have to say, in saying that it's coming back, and that's where the blessing and the curse, right? And then we have to pick those words
right.
so carefully when we say curse. The curse is that the artists aren't able to get on commercial radio because they're quote-unquote neo-soul.
Right.
But the blessing in that curse is that they get to be authentic and they get to have culture and
right.
maintain the culture. So for my event, we've been talking about it for this whole time. There's nothing is coming back.
Right.
We've been saying it. All you had to do is show up and you would hear it. There are artists out there, the Maimouna Youssefs and the Sonny Pattersons, that are like, yeah, this is what's going on. You're not paying attention.
Yeah.
But this is what's going on. So is the curse that I can't be commercial, but I get to be authentic, but then they don't want me to be commercial because they know that I'm going to tell the people the truth.
Right. But the thing, the difference, I think the difference, and I agree with you 100%, but I think the difference now is access. I think because you have social media and what have you, that it's no excuse not to be seen or heard, because everything is at your fingertips right now when you're dealing with
seen
social media.
Heard and paid is two different things.
I understand, but artists would never really pay.
Paid,
anyway.
Right. I was going to say, right. Yeah.
You know, so.
Radio doesn't play an artist, and me being in South Florida in a market that does not support, quote unquote, neo soul, if it's not Erica or Jill or Lauren, they are not showing up at the door. You understand what I'm saying? So then those artists are not able to get paid what they're really worth because they don't, it's a supply and demand. It's a business. If I pay you $2, I need to get $4 back.
I know, but I think what's happening is that when people look at the term neo soul, it's not so much a type of music. This just new was just basically new soul artist that was coming out that was influenced.
That's what we want it to mean.
And no, that's what it was supposed to mean.
But when they hear neo soul and poetry, they think.
But the artist did that. The artist did that to themselves, because what happened is that when they were new, they would come under the banner. Whether it was Alicia, all of them, like, oh, neo soul, yes, I'm that. And then when everybody blew up, it's like, I don't like neo soul no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that. So they did that. They did that to themselves. It ain't like, you know, that society has done it. So they did that to themselves by saying, this is neo soul. You don't hear Jay-Z jumping up saying, hey, I'm Jay-Z. I sold 50 million records, but I'm not hip-hop.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
You know, they did that to themselves. So they got to stick with what it is and what it was for marketing to initially. But it didn't say that, well, if you neo soul, you weak or anything like that. You're talking about a title. You could announce it, but it was all right when you first came out. And that's the problem and the struggle that I have with them, because I remember all of them coming out because I was there. And everybody's like, yes, Kedar, yes. And then when they blew up, it was like, you know, I don't like neo soul anymore because I got a million records.
Right.
I'm not neo soul. I'm Erica.
Right.
You know, get out. I don't want to hear that crap.
I'm mainstream.
Now you're mainstream.
Yeah.
And guess what? You're still not. First of all, it's still there because you turn on any of the social media or any like Spotify, any of these things, and you hit neo soul, all of them come on. Amy Winehouse, all of them come on.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could play that game if they
there's
want.
There's a neo soul artist born every day. I appreciate you for coining it and bringing those that we got out of it. I definitely benefited from it. I'm still, you know, playing the albums from 1990 whatever, and the music is still living and is definitely stays relevant, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that's one of the
definitely ratchet to revolutionary on the neo soul market and poetry market. And I think that's just what everybody wants to let people know.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the
thank you
one of the greatest things about the movement is that the music is, it does not have, it's not dated.
Yeah.
And really, I think you have to go back to the 50s to find a genre of music that you can still play at this moment.
Right.
And it still resonates with you, you know, as deeply.
But let me give
there's
you a perfect
a big
example.
Divide.
Not mm-hmm. country, I'm sorry. I'm
nah.
giving a perfect example. Now watch this. Let's take, you got a new Jack Swing movement.
Right.
New Jack Swing with Teddy and all of them, right?
Right.
Let's talk about all the guys that was in that. You had the you had Guy, you had, you know, Black, you had a lot of different. Now, let's take those artists and compare them to the Ericas, the D'Angelos, the Indiaries. They are still paid big money and they still are selling in venues that hold thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Angelo. So when you talk about, they still very relevant.
Yep.
So let's forget about the name. Let's look at the relevancy and how relevant they are and how current they still are. If you say D'Angelo is coming to such and such, it'll sell out.
Yeah.
If you say Maxwell, who's here with Mary, right?
Yeah. Tuesday.
Yeah.
Done.
I mean, so let's really call it what it is. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, neo soul artists, if they don't have to claim the name, but they still are relevant no matter what. And guess what? Every one of those artists still get played on mainstream.
Oh, yeah.
Mainstream.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, they're not just relegated. They'll play Erica on this station, and they'll play him on the hip-hop R&B station. Mm-hmm. Also, the shows that they still relevant.
Yeah, because Erica was in our the last hour before we came on.
Yeah.
I think in so much of that, you know, is the level of authenticity
right.
that they came with, and the real, just like reaching the culture, reaching us where we were,
right,
and still are. So that was a method to your madness.
Yeah. I'm a bad scientist now.
You know.
Let me ask you, you know, mm-hmm. Ingrid, you on the phone, right? Before D'Angelo came out with cornrows, how many brothers had stopped wearing cornrows, right?
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't wearing cornrows as much.
No, not everybody.
Before D'Angelo came out with that naked video on TV, when they everybody was like, from Trey Songz, everybody. I want it. You know, so guess what? And guess what? These artists are still young. You know the interesting thing about it, though? These artists are the same age, D'Angelo 40, Erica 43. They're the same age as Puffy and Jay and all these hip-hop artists
right.
that everybody consider young because of the music that they doing and the lifestyle. But when you look at other artists, like even, you know, Jova, they're like, oh, who's only like 42? They're like, oh, man, you know, these artists are old. But guess what? You listen to the tall real 2 Chainz. What, 2 Chainz and these guys? These guys are older too.
Yeah,
it's all about the movement and it's all about the culture.
Well, do you think, you know? And speaking about that, what do you think about the current slate of artists out there? Have they learned from those that have come before them?
I think. I mean, it depends on the artist, and it depends on the genre of music you're talking about. If you're talking about hip-hop, I think it's so far out there that it's not necessarily their fault. You become you're a product of your environment. And hip-hop has always been, you know, the CNN.
Of the streets.
We all know that.
Chuck D
said it famously, right?
Yeah.
But I think what happens is that society is so far out there, even with television and all the different things and the access and the attention span. I mean, the millennials with, 30 seconds, and now Generation X, what they call them, are like 8 seconds.
Attention
span. But,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, everything is so far out there.
Yeah.
Everything that if you don't talk about what's out there, if you don't talk about what's really happening or what you see or whatever, you're considered, like, outdated or not up with the times, you know. It's like,
or is that something that the labels are selling them? Because you, in the break, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
They, you know, you had pushback.
Right.
When it came to, you know, letting your artists be authentic.
Right.
You know, but you pushed through.
I think artists could do whatever they, let me say it like this. I don't think that labels have the control over artists and what they put out like they used to. They had to have more control back then.
Mm-hmm.
One, I don't think that labels really care. They just want to go with what's hot. What's selling. They don't care. If you look at the whole makeup of the executives that's still high up in it in mm-hmm. the industry, you have your Sylvia Rhodes, you have your L.A. Reid, but that's it.
That's about it.
That's it. And it's the same ones that's been there, and no one has really broken that glass ceiling. But, you know, the equal factor has become distribution. So you don't even need labels anymore to really get your music out there or whatever. And then you have to decide, artists have to decide, you know, you get the artists that say, you know, I just want to put my message out or whatever. Great. Then let's not make no money. Just put it out.
Right.
Sell to your moms or whatever you're going to do.
Right.
Because my thing has always been that art has to equal commerce.
Mm-hmm.
It has to equal commerce. And if you're not in it to make money and you're not in it to be fancy, whatever it is, then guess what? Record yourself. Or go on Facebook, whatever you're doing, just send it to your friends and get your message out that way.
Right.
It's all BS. But at the end of the day, I don't think that labels have the control anymore. They don't. And guess what? Mixtapes.
Yeah. Right. And, yeah.
They don't have the control. So now they're trying to control. Yeah. Oh, man.
And then Beyonce, you know, when she dropped, not only, I mean, on so many levels, she dropped an album
right.
that was all videos.
Right, right.
With not one leak.
That's right.
You know, and she changed the game.
Changed the game.
That whole, the label's going to spend $40 million market. Nope. I'm going to put this on Instagram. And I'm going to sell 10 million albums.
But artists aren't selling anymore. Like, she did that last time, but when you look at the sales of artists right now,
yeah.
You don't see artists pass, not unless it's Adele or whatever, you don't see artists pass 2 million. So they come up with something else. They call it sales plus streaming. So every amount of streams that you get equal this amount of sales. You know, people, I mean, they aren't selling. I mean,
do you think, though, that the streaming sites are to blame for that? You know, you got everything from Tidal to Spotify Google Play. I have all of them, I'll admit it.
But I think kids are so and are so intelligent that they're going to find the music. And I think you're not competing, you know, you're competing with free. That's why people are not buying anything, because you're competing with things that kids are going to find.
And
it doesn't help that artists leak 2 or 3 or 4 songs. You know, that's, you know, it's going to happen regardless because nothing, you can get anything over the internet.
That is very true. Coming up on Hot Talk After Midnight, into every life, some rain must fall. What has adversity taught Kedar, and how is he using that to move the culture forward now? Why don't you have a cocktail and join us? 888-550-9105, because it's the little thing.
That's right. In the IRE.
There you go, on Hot 105.
Been around the whole world, still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burdens down. Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found.
Hot Talk will be right back on Hot 105.
December 1st, Hot 105 and Rubenstein Law.
1-800-FL-LEGAL.
Presents Hot Live, up close and personal with Drew Hill. The Miami Funk Fest edition.
Like all of your radios to 105.1.
And listen for the song to win. The 10th caller when the song plays wins tickets to the Miami Funk Fest. Going down December 9th and 10th at the Miramar Regional Park. And all access to Hot Live up close and personal with Drew Hill. The Miami Funk Fest edition. Hosted by Rick Party, Benji Brown, and Jill Tracy. Brought to you by Rubenstein Law. 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Variety Entertainment. And South Florida's only station. For today's R&B and old school. Hot 105. Download our Hot 105 app for more chances to win.
Or go to hot105fm.com for more details now.
My precious baby is talking.
And there's a word I wanted to talk to you about, beginning with your driving.
My baby is talking in complete sentences?
You waste so much gas with your left foot and your jet weapon starts. I could toss my cookies.
My little boy is backseat driving.
And he's up on the highway, too. Every 10 miles, over 60 miles per hour is like paying 40 cents more a gallon. That's like about 400 balloons for me.
You can count to 400?
401. And your tires? If you keep them properly inflated, you could save even more.
Oh, wait till I tell Daddy.
Dada? He's costing us big time, too, with all that junk in his trunk. How's he gonna pay for my college, my braces, my tattoo?
Don't cry. I'll drive smarter.
That's not the problem. I got junk in my trunk.
Get hundreds of dollars worth of money-saving gas tips and help the environment at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can that announcer dude change me, please?
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I was on the way from Kandahar to Klot, hit an IED that just took the truck and threw it up in the air and slammed it on the ground. I knew at first that I got hurt pretty bad because I couldn't move my legs. I sat home alone for months. I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. I was hesitant at first, you know, because I didn't work for a good year. I want to be a productive person. I don't want to be a drain on society. I want to be a positive thing in society. PBA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Helping veterans like Eric is what we've done for over 65 years. Paralyzed Veterans of America, paving access for veterans' employment through Operation PAVE. For more information, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Everyone deserves access to eye care. Unfortunately, some cannot afford comprehensive eye exams that detect and prevent eye disease, disease that can lead to vision loss. The Florida Optometry Eye Health Fund is here to help. The fund promotes access to comprehensive eye care to help the less fortunate reach their full potential. If you know a child in need, urge them to contact Miami Lighthouse. Help them see a clearer future.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Tom Joyner in the morning, the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and everybody knows the song.
105.1.
Pastor Kim Burrell, your mom is an evangelist and your dad is a pastor. Did you ever feel like you wanted to get out from under all that?
I'm thankful for their upbringing. You know, coming up this Thursday would have been my mother's 73rd birthday. She passed away 3 years ago. So it's a bittersweet kind of week, but I'm going to still throw that dressing in that oven and think about all that.
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
Welcome back to Hot Talk, 888-550-9105. You can join the conversation tonight, Mogul Moments, tonight with Kedar Massenburg, those of you who are familiar with the neo-soul sound, and Erica, D'Angelo, Joe, Kim, India, you name it, Kedar Massenberger was responsible for bringing neo-soul and enlightenment to the music that remains today as relevant as it was the day it was created. Ingrid B. is on the phone with us from the ATL as well, and Justin in Carroll City online too. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Hey, how you doing? It's Justine, Jill.
Justine, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I want to say peace to you and to the brother Kedar as well as Ingrid on the other line. You guys have been a big influence on me, especially me coming up, you know, as I was younger, DJing and whatnot. You guys have been a big influence on me. But my question, I got three questions. I really want to spit out for Kedar. I want to find out, the first thing was how much so when you were crafting this music, how much so was it more the influence on the Erikas and the Maxwells and all them? How much of it was more of appearance as opposed to the music? Which one did you lean more towards? Was it more the music you were leaning and influencing them, or was it the actual appearance? That's one. The second question.
Let him answer one at a time.
Well, okay. Let me answer the first one. I think that everything starts with the music, because that comes from the soul, and that gives you your vision. I think anything that comes from an image first and then the music is something that's fabricated. So it always starts with the music that influence the direction of the image and the marketing. I think that's very important. And I think if you do it any other way, then you're not being true to yourself.
Yeah. And your other question?
And the other question would be, you spoke of earlier when you said MTV gave you a big, you had a big argument with MTV as far as getting Erica on ear. I was trying to find out, what caused you to say, you know what, I believed in, what did you see in Erica, which you say, you know what, I believe in this artist, and I even if MTV is rejecting me, I'm still going to go ahead and push forward to make sure we get her on air.
Get her on, yeah.
Okay, what I said is that the label that she was on, my label and the distribution company that I was with, didn't push for her to get on MTV. Not that MTV rejected her, but they was reluctant to even present her with me because they didn't understand the music. And what was the other part that you asked me? And what?
As far as like, what caused you to say, you know what, I have to go forward with...
Right.
What
was it about her?
Okay, well, anything in life that you believe in, that you have to go forward, even when you have people not believing in you. And I knew that there was also, what I would like to say at the time, a subculture of black people that understood what, you know, yes, what cypher meant, what 360 degrees meant,
yes,
and, you know, with knowledge. And I thought that was very important to get that out. And I knew that would rise. Just like I guess Trump knew that a lot of racists would come out too.
Thank you.
They underestimated him. And he kept pushing forward, right?
Right.
So.
Right, because everywhere, and it's interesting with, you know, this, there's a, CNN has put out a book called Unprecedented. And,
yeah,
you know, yeah, and it really is, we didn't watch the campaign from his side.
Right.
You know, but so much of it was, they knew because they saw the momentum growing everywhere they went.
Exactly.
The crowds just got bigger and bigger. And that is not just a you know, that comes from something that they want,
right,
that they feel that he can deliver. The same that you're saying.
Yeah.
The longevity of your artist has been because they give me something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your last question?
And my last question would be, when you was also crafting this music, or had a hand in crafting this music, what were your musical influences as far as, like, what were you listening to at that time? I'm pretty sure hip-hop was some of it, but was there any soul or R&B artists that you were listening to, like, from the past, or even reggae music from the past that you were listening to that made you say, you know, Erica or Maxwell or Remy Shan or these other
artists?
Wow,
you said Remy Shan. That's funny. That's what, that's interesting. From Toronto. He's the original guy from Canada. Well, I think, you know, I grew up with the James Browns and all that. I listened to everything. My mother listened to everything. And I think that back then, music meant a lot. Whether it was Marvin Gaye saying, "What's going on?" or whether it was James Brown saying, "I'm black and I'm proud." There was always a movement with black music back then and our struggles. You know, so I knew that that legacy had to continue. And that's why I was actually called Neo Soul. You know, so
okay.
You understand what I mean? So I listened to everything from Bob Marley. A lot of people don't even know that Curtis Mayfield produced some of Bob Marley's songs. Yeah, I think he might have didn't Waiting in Vain.
Okay, I gotta check that out. I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of things that people don't know of. Well, Stevie Wonder with the Spinners or
whatever it is.
It's a lot of things. So
Curtis Mayfield, you just dropped some knowledge right there. Did you know that Curtis Mayfield and Bob Marley?
Yeah.
Okay, that's real.
So
now I'm going to go do my record.
Right?
So anything you believe in, you know, and this goes out to anything that you believe in that you got to keep pushing. Even when, you know, it's interesting. I hear people talk about Trump, and I'm not saying I'm a Trump fan. Don't get me wrong. But that man mentioned that he wanted to be president when he was 30 years old, and he kept going, right? He kept going, right? People laughed. He get not one vote, right? Last time, like, yo, get the hell out of here. You ain't getting it. And he strategically planned, and now he's president, right? And that's a big lesson you got to learn in life, you know what I mean? Even though sometimes, like, I have a friend here, right, that's sitting, his name is Sean, right? He has Magic Soul Food, right? And he has a operation in Pembroke Pines. He's opened up another one. I said, you know, he wants to open up a bunch of them, but I told him you have to be strategic. But he believed in himself after being in business for 14 years and then being down here for a year and a half open. He believed in himself, so now he's opening up multiple. So even when people say, "Oh, you can't do it. Soul food restaurants don't last, so it's got a 5-year whatever."
That place is actually good. I know who you're talking. It's in the corner there.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Good. So I'm glad you're supporting it because I like the food. But anyway, I'm saying whatever your plan is, you just got to stick to it. As long as it's legal and legit.
Right.
Don't try to come out here being a star.
You ain't hurt nobody. Right.
You know, but you got to just stick with that and anything. You know, I have a buddy that's a developer, you know, that I saw him go from nothing to now becoming one of the luxury developers. You know, his name is Freddie here in Miami. So, and I saw him just stick with what he wants to do and be. And all you got to do is stick with it. Trust me. It happens. Trust.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that when I talk to Sean. And, you know, this is the real power of networking. Because I met Sean through one of my college friends, Willie Daniels. He has a Montessori school. And he called me from Willie's place one day and said, "Hey, you got to come over here. Have you been over here?" And I didn't even know it existed. It was less than 5 minutes from my house.
Right.
So I went over and we ate. The food was amazing. I met Sean. Sean and I were talking. And then I don't even know how we got to it, but he mentioned Kedar Massenburg. And I was like, "Stop playing. You do not know Kedar Massenburg." He's like, "Yes, I do." And he lives here.
From Brooklyn.
An hour later, he called me with Kedar. And I was like, "Okay, I scrapped. Listen, I had a whole nother show planned tonight." I called them immediately, like, "Love you, mean it. Let's reschedule that." And it was, that's networking. Do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, "Oh, I had called the label and I called this and that and that and that." No. And it's just like he said, if you believe in something enough, that it will come to fruition.
I tell Sean this. I said, "Listen, it's not who you know, it's who know you." Because you could say you know someone, and they don't really know you.
Right.
So the fact he said, "I know Kedar, da, da, da." And, I mean, I know him. But because he knew me, and I knew him, he was able to say, "Hey, Kedar, you know, you have to talk to Jill Tracy. You have to do this, you know?" I said, "Not a problem." I said, "One, you're my man. Two, your food is good, I'll do it. And I don't usually do interviews."
Right. I was going to say, and he never does interviews.
I said, but she was so, her vibe, I could just feel her vibe over the phone. I said, "Okay, I'll do it." Because people ask me all the time, I'm like, "Nah, I don't want to do that. I don't like pictures. They got me on Facebook right now. I'm hating it.
Listen, if you Google, and that's why I said Google earlier, because if you Google Kedar, it's very few things out there. And you really are serious about that.
Nah,
you don't have a lot out there.
I don't like it.
Because you're not on Instagram or none of that.
I'm not on any of that. I'm not on social media at all.
Yeah.
I don't do it. Yeah. And it's not that I have anything against it. I like my privacy.
You're one of the greatest pioneers of my music, as far as my generation is concerned. Listening to your music at the Funk Jazz Lounge when they used to be down here. Ingrish used to play your music as well. Hot 105 play your music all the time.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for crafting.
Well, it's not my music. It's not my music. It's the artist that created it. Their music. I was just a conduit for them to get it out there.
Yeah.
They came with a vision. I just helped crystallize it. So that thank you is for them. But thank you for the support and supporting me and helping them. Thanks.
Awesome. So who do you like right now? Who's doing it for you right now?
I listen to everybody. You know, I listen to everyone. You know, I don't try to come on the air and be cool and name some artists like, yeah, I'm listening. Trying to sign a heavy.
Right.
I listen to everybody from Drake. I listen to everyone.
But yeah, a lot of times people don't.
Adele, I listen to all kinds of. You know, they got the new kid that's on RCA. I think he's opening up for Mary, also.
Ro James.
Yeah. You know, so it's a lot of different people. But I'm focusing more. Not just system, I'm focusing more on the TV and the movie side now.
I was going to say, yeah, because you and Damon John are working on some things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, not public.
What? You're not talking about it yet?
No, not really.
Okay. But you know what's funny?
Movie and TV stuff. That's,
when you told me that,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
I thought about when AT&T and Time Warner merged.
Right.
And the presidents were on CNN.
Right.
And I think it was whatever her name was. Asked him, you know, why did you do this?
Yeah.
And the president of AT&T said, because we wanted to be first to deliver video content.
That's right.
To our consumers.
Right.
And, you know, for those of you who follow that, you know, AT&T and Time Warner, that's like half the world.
Right.
You know, but the precipice was digital.
Yeah.
And video content.
Exactly. And that's important right now. And just like
so when you said music, you all were going, that's
exactly
where you're going.
Just like with a shift in music, there's also a shift. Because people now, people listen with their eyes.
Yeah. People tell me all the time, girl, I watch you.
Movies and TV, and that's the next step. That stuff that's already in development, that's going to shock people. They'll see it. And that'll be the next thing for my company, Envy Mind Films. So they'll see a couple of things.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm there.
So now, do you?
Yes.
Of the brothers.
Yes.
That came up with you.
Yes.
There's you. There's Andre. There's you mentioned Undias.
Andre is a little before me, but it's
it's true.
Because he's one of the five.
He found Puff and Puff put us together.
Not Andre.
Right.
Andre was out of there by then.
You and Puff are around the same time.
All of us, yeah. Steve Star, all
Undia,
of us came
Steve,
up.
Yeah. So was it, did you all have a camaraderie? You know how they talk about, I hate to use the Illuminati, but for lack of a better reference, that this, you know, that you meet in these clandestine places to change the world.
No, all that's BS. First of all, you gotta have your full mental capacity to change the world. You know what I mean? So I don't think everybody,
as she sips her tea.
You know. So I think as we came up, if we needed something from each other or whatever it is, that we could get each other. We had access. That's a better word. We had access. We have access to each other. Like if I need something, I could call, you know, Puff or whatever, you know. So, and I think that's just the mutual respect coming up. I mean, and I would like to think that it's still there if I need it, but it's very rare that I ask any of them guys for anything.
Right.
Because the interesting thing is that none of them ever helped me in the business. It was a white man that did that. His name was Doug Morris. I never got helped from L.A., any of them. And that's really interesting, and that's why I always walk my own line. I know I never said it in public, but it's the truth. Whether it's Andre that helped Puff, whether it was Russell that helped Andre, whether it was L.A. that helped Jermaine Dupri and all of them, you know, so I never got not one single hand help from a black man in the business.
Wow.
That as a mentor or anything like that. So I had to carve out my own way. And I'm going to continue to do that.
Right.
That's what I stand for.
You know, part of me wanted you to say, oh, yeah, we was boys, we did.
Nah.
Yeah.
We, if I needed something, and it was very rare because they do their thing, I do my thing, you know.
So do you think that it is that having the experience that you've had?
Yeah.
Do you think that that type of unity that, you know, we all espouse, we want, is possible?
Yeah, I think anything is possible, and I think that it's much needed. Maybe I was just the guy they didn't want in the circle.
You funny.
Maybe they haven't. I don't know. Maybe I ain't part of that club. But you know, at the end of the day.
Well, but when you think about it, you know what you were producing and putting out there was different.
It is coming
from a different energy. Yeah.
And you know, people always say, you know, Kedar is arrogant. This. No, I'm not that. I tell you the truth. If I don't mess with you, I don't mess with you.
Right.
You know, if you whack, you whack. If I don't. I'm not gonna chase. Hey, I'm not that guy. If I don't like you, I'm not gonna sit there and be like, hey, what up, my bro? Hey, call me, yo. Let's go drink some blah blah blah. Whatever.
And then just never call.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. If we're friends, then we're organically friends. Like Kim is a friend of mine. You know, we keep in touch. We golf. Derek Dudley, who manages Common. You know, I got my
your tribe.
I got my tribe too. Yeah. And I'm not saying Puff and I'm not Puff.
Right, people.
Yeah. So I got much respect for all of them. But did any of them ever give me a cent or gave me anything or to help or set up a meeting for me? No. I brought Bad Boy over to Universal, you know. I dealt with Slim and Baby, Cash Money at Universal or what have you. So anything that I need, I can ask them for, you know. I put out the Al Sharpton book. Al Sharpton is signed to Massenburg Media for the book, The Rejected Star.
As well as the movie rights to me.
So I don't necessarily talk about everything I do because I don't need to wear it on my shoulder because I understand that, well, on my sleeve, because I understand that reality is being with the people and amongst the people, and I'm never going to separate myself. Not saying I'm going to go back and live in the hood, but I understand the reality of struggle because we all have our ups and downs.
Right.
You know? But I'm never going to ask someone for something, not because of pride. No, because I made it this far without your help.
So let me ask you. Thanksgiving, 1984, where were you?
1984, let's see. Thanksgiving, 1984.
You had to be about 8.
No. 84, let's see. 84 to 84. I was in Central State. I was in school.
Because
I'm a Kappa. I'm also a member of Kappa.
Okay, to the day you die.
Right, I pledged in 83, so that was my first year. So I was definitely, so Thanksgiving, 84, I was in Detroit.
I'm out there.
Because I lived in Detroit for a while. I lived in South Towers, on 12 Mile Telegraph.
I lived in Lafayette Towers.
Yeah.
Lafayette Park.
Yeah, Lafayette. So, yeah. Matter of fact, because I was dating the homecoming queen from Central State.
Wow.
So I know she lives in Detroit, so I think I went to her home with her family.
And this Thanksgiving, where were you?
This Thanksgiving, I was on a friend's yacht. With Sean came by, but believe it or not, we didn't eat till 12 o'clock. I won't mention the person that we ate till 12 a.m.
Billy Woodruff was with you.
No, Billy Woodruff was with me another time. That was that Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
He was there before a couple of weeks ago.
No, oh, okay.
For the Black Film Festival.
That was a while ago. I just saw that on his Instagram.
He's working on a project. He's shooting one of my films. So, this Thanksgiving was I think we missed Thanksgiving because I think we had dinner at 12:01.
So we had
the leftovers from the meal that we didn't have the day before.
That's funny.
So I was here in Miami. I was in Boca Raton.
So if you had to describe in, you know, 140 characters or less that span of time. What would you say?
The span of time.
From 84 to now. Like, if you had to say...
I would say...
Because of you, from where you sit now is so different from it was.
Yeah. I would say, wow, experience, broken, repaired. You know, kind of like the Bionic Man.
Yeah.
I'm going to rebuild them.
Right. Because it is. It feels to me, and you know, and trust me, this is the first time that we've ever met. Right. But like, when I talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like, he is definitely, well, you are part of your tribe because what you produced spoke to me, you know, and it was there for me in many moments in my life, you know, and the music that I played tonight, curated tonight were, you know, highlights of some of, you know, those milestones in my life. And right. I think that, I guess any genre of music that you really love, but I think that the music that you produced and the artists that you brought to the forefront were able to be authentic in a way that we had not seen before.
Exactly, and I think it's time for that also in the movie and TV side of things. You know, that's the next you know endeavor that I'm going to embark upon because I think that's very important, especially with the image. With the images, you know what I mean?
Did you see Moonlight?
No.
Oh. Okay, no. Kidara, I'm going to make you a little list.
Okay, give me a list.
You got to see Moonlight.
I've been in the lab writing the scripts and writing. Because when I come, I want them to say, yo, did you see that?
Yeah. Well, that's why I want you to see Moonlight. Right, because you'd be like, did you see that? Birth of a Nation was another one that was
yeah,
really...
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that.
Yeah, actually, no, I know. I actually know what he did. It's Alba and No, that's not Birth of a Nation.
No, Birth of a Nation is Nate Parker.
It's Nate Parker. That's the Nat Turner.
Yes.
Nat Turner.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that. Yeah, I wanted to see that.
Okay, yeah, that one. I'm sure they'll bring that to your house now.
No, I didn't want that to come out. I know everything behind it.
So, okay,
you know, so. Also, Hidden Figures was really good.
Hidden Figures, yeah, I got to go see. Are you serious? That's it? We're at the end of the show, Mark. Oh, my God.
That happens when you
right?
when you're having a good time and you speak the truth.
So that
right?
means my question cannot be answered then.
What?
What's your question, Ingrid?
As a fellow member of the I Only Mess With My Tribe, meaning I deal with people on energy, did you ever have an instance when you were like, you should have just sucked it up and worked with somebody?
Yeah, I could tell you when I left Motown, Clive Davis was courting me, and he wanted me to. They had Jay, RCA, and Arista, and he wanted me to run all three, right, as the president, right. But the offer wasn't right for me. And then one of the things he did, he clipped my wings if I was to take it, because he said everybody can report to you except A&R. And I was like, huh? You know, and his son was my lawyer, Fred Davis was my lawyer. And he's like, oh, you should take it, Kedar. I mean, you'll have, you know, you still got your contract at Motown, you left, blah, 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 you can still do it. But it wasn't about the money. And when I look back at it, I felt like, well, maybe I should have taken it at the time because it would allow me to, you know, create more artists or do whatever. I think that was my only regret in the music side, or someone I didn't necessarily work with. But I felt like that Clive might have felt like anything that I put out or whatever, that I would not overshadow his name, but my name. You know, because it was so funny when Indy Irie got nominated for the 7th Grammys and she was going against Alicia Keys.
Mm-hmm.
Every Grammy, and Clive told me I was going to lose every Grammy. He said, you're going to lose every one, and she's going to win. And I sat right in front of him, and every time Alicia won, he tapped me on my shoulder and was like, that's another one. There goes another one. I never forget that in my life.
Wow.
And I had to go backstage and talk to Indy Irie because she still had to perform.
Wow.
At the Grammys. And she kept it together. She was in back crying. I said, hey, you got this.
Yeah.
She came and she tore it up.
Wow.
And that was the Grammys.
Yeah. So many good stories. Okay, so now that I know that you're here, I will be stalking you.
I would love to, when I'm in town.
I would love to have you back. You know, I would love an opportunity to have some up and coming artists that are here that are really, you know, moving the culture.
I'd like to talk to them, but the music thing, I think I've done that. Sometimes you gotta leave when you're being called to do something else in the arts and entertainment.
Okay, so the next great show after you see Moonlight is gonna be you and Barry Jenkins Terrell McCraney. Done.
Okay. Whatever you need, I'm here for
Kedar Massenburg, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You are wonderful.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Each and every Sunday night right here on Hot Talk, we will holla at you next Sunday. Love you, mean it. Bye-bye.
Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live.
Always local.
Always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Own a business but baffled by digital marketing? CMG Local Solutions can help you take out all the guesswork out of digital marketing. Reach the right customer with a simple online marketing solution that is right for you. Learn more at cmglocalsolutions.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-256-3483 to take your call right now. Call 877-256-3483. That's 877-256-3483. Again, 877-256-3483.
Coca-Cola is dedicating radio time to unsung holiday heroes. This one goes out to the gracious holiday hosts. Every year, you host the entire family for Christmas dinner. That's both bold and brave. While others cringe at hosting 25 family members, you embrace it with unparalleled passion. You bring distant relatives closer together. And you deserve a delicious, refreshing, ice-cold Coke in return. Share a Coke with your holiday hero, Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Hey, yo, Miami, this is D.L. Hughley, and you're listening to WHQT Coral Gables, Miami's Hot 105.
A Cox Media Group station.
This message is being brought to you by Headliner Market Group, known for having the hottest and biggest events in the country. For one night only. Tuesday, November 29th, Grammy Award superstar Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige hosts the biggest after party of the year, Tuesday, November 29th. Find out when this highly anticipated event will be held. Email info at headlinerworld.com and follow Headliner on Instagram and Twitter at headlinerworld.
Cox Media Group is hiring. What does that mean to you? Nothing if you're happy with your current job. But if you'd rather work for a purpose-driven company that promotes a work-life balance in a flexible, collaborative atmosphere, it could mean a lot. And if you enjoy social media, have creative ideas, and love to solve problems, it could mean even more. A lot more. Apply today at work@cmg.com. That's work@cmg.com. We mean it.
Quitting tobacco isn't easy. In all honesty, it's a very hard thing to do. The good news is, Tobacco Free Florida is here to help you quit your way by offering the free support and tools you'll need to succeed. For the do-it-yourselfers, there's WebQuit, a free online resource that gives you access to tools, tips, and support to help you quit tobacco at your own pace. Just log on to tobaccofreeflorida.com and see how you can start your plan. It doesn't matter how many times you've tried to quit, now is your time to succeed. Along with WebQuit, we offer a series of additional proven tools to help you quit your way, such as GroupQuit and PhoneQuit. You're just a click away from starting your quit plan. The time is now to quit your way. So double your chances of success by calling 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW or connecting to WebQuit at TobaccoFreeFlorida.com. This is your start to a tobacco-free life. No judgments, just help.